I really do believe somebody is watching me. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheep, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be back with you again tonight, Barry. As always, it's good to be back in the studio.
It is. And thankfully, in our studios, possibly, Chuck, nobody's watching us. Well, except for God, that is. And he watches us all the time.
Yes, that's right. We should remember that.
But if our federal government gets its way, everybody will have that feeling of being watched, or maybe it'll just be those who are on Twitter. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening to our program and you're a Twitter user, be careful what you say on Twitter, because you could get a knock on your door from the Secret Service. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Secret Service's program to ask American citizens to spy on each other's tweets. And if one of them happens to be concerning to you, well, the Secret Service would be more than happy to take your concerns and act on them.
Well, here's the deal, Barry. Anybody in the audience who's read 1984 knows what's going on here. This is an attempt to get you to report on your neighbor. Now, I'm not saying that maybe you shouldn't let people know if your neighbor is stockpiling grenades and that kind of thing. And when you ask them why, they make some nebulous response about how he and his friends are about to go take over the city or attempt to storm the state house or something. You know,
or laugh maniacally and start humming, "It's the end of the world as we know
it." Yeah. And there is a judgment that you should use about when you decide to snitch and when you don't. Like, for instance, if you know people are unbalanced and they start talking seriously about killing people, yeah, you probably ought to report that. You might want to keep an eye on this guy. He's never been particularly stable. But the fact is, now what you're supposed to do anytime you see a tweet, and you know that some people say the dumbest things on Twitter because you get 144 characters.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's explain to some of our listeners who may not be conversant with this, including me. I have a Twitter account, and I think I've never used it. Chuck, let's just tell our listeners a little bit about how Twitter works. First of all, it's a social messaging program that's hugely popular. I forget how many, what is it, 500 million user accounts worldwide are using Twitter. Now, we know that, honestly, there's a lot more people on the planet than that, so it isn't a huge percentage of the population of the planet that uses Twitter, but in America, 140 million of those accounts are right here in the U.S., which means of the 360-some million people, about half are using Twitter. So it's big,
wow.
And that's probably the reason why the Secret Service is thinking this is a great platform for them to get tips and understand or try to ID potential threats. And so somebody follows you, they ask to follow you, which means they want to see what you tweet. That's what it's called, tweeting. And there's all kinds of other technical stuff, but we won't go into that. Then you can tap up to 144 characters on your phone's pad or whatever it is, and send it out, and it goes out to everybody who's following you, and then you can get the people you're following, you get all their tweets, so it's like an ongoing feed of conversation, thoughts, people telling you what they had for last night's dinner, where they're going to go to over the weekend, all this kind of stuff out there. But I think, Chuck, what the Secret Service is trying to do is trying to get people to be paranoid, and to, if you are concerned. Now, question is, how do you define concern? Now, you and I talked about it just here a second ago. It's really a matter of common sense and good discernment.
Well, absolutely, Barry. And let's put it this way. If you thought Facebook was bad, look at Twitter. Because 144 characters to tell you something like, "Had Mexican for dinner, now have heartburn." Well, who cares? And that's most of the junk that goes out across stuff like Twitter. And you also see it on Facebook. I don't post to Facebook to say, "Have runny nose today." Well, so what? Who cares if I have a runny nose or not? It's not important. I use mine when I've got something to say. Now, most people don't do that. So what's going on? The Secret Service and these cybersecurity things, like we talked about yesterday, are now trying to find out if some of this is in code. And it might be, but they're also looking for people if you see something that looks suspicious. Well, what does "look suspicious" mean? this is the problem, Barry. If someone says, I really don't like Barack Obama, or I really don't like some other politician, I've heard of people being turned in for saying things like that. Or, for instance, there is a new thing out there. People that are radio talk show hosts and that kind of thing. Oh, no, maybe I'm giving them a suggestion they shouldn't have. They do fake 911 calls. They'll call in and say, oh, no, you need to send the cops. Somebody is going to kill them. Or you do some fake report and you send a SWAT team to their home. These fake SWAT calls. This has happened more than once in the last 6 months. And so now you stand the danger of people beginning to do this. And it's embarrassing for people. All of a sudden, the SWAT team comes out, and they're asking you questions about beating your wife and children and, you know, holding people at gunpoint, and you're sort of like dumbfounded because you're sitting there having dinner with your family, and the SWAT team shows up. And they kick your door in and flashbang you and, you know, do the flashbang grenades. This has happened more than once to people who are relatively prominent. And what kind of danger are we putting people into by all of a sudden turn in a friend with this Twitter thing? This is definitely a turn in your neighbor program. This is sort of like things that were happening in the 90s and up to now when all of a sudden, for instance, it became anonymous to report people for child abuse.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
There are all kinds of fake child abuse accusations where people or having their children taken away because someone didn't like what they did in their yard and they turned them in for child abuse. And Children's Services then comes in, makes the assumption of guilt, takes your children away, and it may take 6 months or a year to get them back, if at all. So this kind of thing has very dangerous implications. And it has dangerous implications from another direction in that if you know 1984 at all, this was the same thing that was going on there. There were posters all over the place in 1984 in the book. If you see something, turn them in. Now, I've seen these Homeland Security things on posters. Now, I haven't been to New York in years, but New York City had a bunch of these. If you see something suspicious, make a phone call. Well, again, what is suspicious? Saying out loud in New York City that you don't like some liberal politician who everybody is in love with there could be suspicious.
Very much so.
So we have this nebulous word, suspicious, and we're building up this thing where it could make the difference between a terrorist attack and a not. Well, look, you know, if I go out there and say I don't like Governor Cuomo, that doesn't mean I would necessarily want bodily harm to come to him. I'd like him to be unelected. Some people, though, would assume that because I am a quote-unquote right-wing fanatic, that I was making some sort of threat with that. There are a lot of assumptions that could be made, and this idea that we need to start calling and tweeting, calling in any tweet that looks suspicious. Now, for instance, it can go too far the other direction. And as you and I were kind of laughing about, at the bottom of this article that we're reading, and it's in CNS News, it's called Secret Service Asks Americans to Report Tweets That Concern You. And we'll post a link to it. I told Barry, I said, okay, go to the link at the bottom of the page and picture for yourself the perpetrator of this act.
Well, the act was that the Secret Service has already utilized this kind of situation in order to get on top of something. In September of this year, a man in North Carolina was actually arrested. Secret Service came to his house and they arrested him for putting a tweet on Twitter threatening to kill President Barack Obama. Now, as Chuck was saying, you can imagine you've got somebody who's upset with the president in North Carolina, who this person might, you would form an image in your head.
Yes, and you would generally assume that it is a white person because it's threatening to kill President Obama. And you might think KKK, and you might think he's got a rebel flag tattoo or maybe a sticker in the back window of his pickup truck.
Or he's a Tea Party member or a conservative, all these things. But what you actually find out if you follow that link and it goes over to CNN is that the suspect that was arrested by the Secret Service was a gentleman by the name of Dante Jamar Sims, a 21-year-old African-American who, in his mugshot, is wearing some very, I forget what you call it, like cornrows or something of that nature, or something Jamaican-style hairdo, and had tweeted such messages including, "The Secret Service is going to be defenseless once I aim the assault rifle at Barack's forehead." Okay.
Oh, yeah.
These are not vague or veiled tweets.
No, the hairdo you're thinking, he's in dreadlock.
Dreadlocks. Okay, that's what I was looking for. Thank you.
He's definitely wearing dreads. And these are unequivocal. And this one, remember that the Democrat convention was getting ready to happen when this was going on. And he tweeted all kinds of just dumb things. Of all the stupid things to put down, I'm a hit President Obama with that Lee Harvey Oswald swag, was one thing he tweeted. And he says,
I don't even know what that means. I mean, well, you know, I get the reference to Lee Harvey Oswald, but please.
It's like in the movie Airplane, I speak some jive.
I guess you do. But the biggest concern that I would have, granted, Mr. Sims was high on marijuana at the time that he was making these tweets, so you can kind of write that off a little bit. But the thing is that in the court documents, when they were basically arraigning him, the document states, and I quote, a Secret Service intelligence research specialist saw the messages on Twitter. Ladies and gentlemen, that means that the Secret Service and others are out there following Twitter accounts or have a direct linkage that anytime somebody hashtags or the name of the president comes up, the Secret Service sees your email, sees your Twitter, sees anything that you do.
Yeah.
And that in itself is a little shocking.
It should be shocking, Barry, because right now we live in an era that has never been around before, and we never really, when you think about the author of 1984 was prescient, George Orwell, when he foresaw the electronic capability of being able to monitor you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we are rapidly approaching that situation. If you think about it, you have insurance companies out there touting the fact that you can cut your insurance bill by simply plugging a device into your interface that they normally use to read your computer card. What they use that for is to monitor your driving. They can see how fast you go, how many times, and how often you apply your brakes. There are all kinds of things that they can monitor with that device. Now, what people don't understand is it's supposed to be a tool by which you can train yourself to drive more safely. Well, okay, maybe. But the fact is that all that information goes into a database that's then used by the government. The government is basically given that information. And supposedly your privacy is protected, but lately with some of the new security regulations, all a federal officer has to do is go in and flash a badge, and they get not only the information, but they get it with your name attached.
Yes.
So if there's any GPS data at all, guess what? They know where you've been, how long you were there, how fast you drove to get there, where you stopped along the way, blah, 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 blah.
And Chuck, and I know that's true because a friend of mine who's an attorney had a case in where they subpoenaed those type of records that proved clearly that a witness for the opposing side wasn't where they said they were when they said they were doing this.
Yes.
Because they tracked it with GPS at the time of the phone call to place the person's phone in an area somewhere totally different than where they said they were. So, yes, those records can be accessed and they can be personally identified.
So, Barry, what we started with yesterday is the idea that the Department of Homeland Security wants your kids to start watching everything. And right. Now we need to get the adults to chime in. And all of a sudden it's because of we want to be safe that we need to be able to get all your information at any time we want it for any reason that we want it for. That is the exact reason why the Fourth Amendment was written, to prevent that exact thing. The people have the right to be secure in their persons, places, houses, and effects.
Well, but Chuck, you and I have talked on previous programs, which you can find in our archives on the website at principledpolicy.com. We've talked in the past about how the Fourth Amendment is being eroded, if not totally ignored, by decisions from the United States Supreme Court.
Oh, absolutely. And it's done on purpose, and it's done in the guise of protecting you. And Barry, that's the only way you can get it done. You have to convince people that they're being protected, and the only way to protect them is to violate their rights. This is the way despots always gain power and get people to give up their liberty. And you do it by making sure that people understand that they are trading their personal liberty for personal safety. Now, if you'll remember, Benjamin Franklin made the famous quote that those who would exchange precious liberty for a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
That's right.
And that's because they haven't thought it through to the end point. Once you give government power, it's very difficult to get it back.
Absolutely. Next to Impossible.
And with that, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.